Good morning, everybody. Today is a Friday, May 5th of 2017, and this is Hooked on Drupal, brought to you by Commercial Progression, a symmetry company. And we are joined today by Rusty, Garrett, Hillary, and perhaps at some point Brad is going to walk in.
Is that, I hope so.
That's what we're assuming.
He arrives at work.
Anyway. audio check. You guys, we need to introduce, and I need to get audio levels on the new people. Well, Rusty, you were in the last podcast.
Yeah, Rusty was here before.
It's the Garrett show today.
The Garrett show.
Today one, two. Is the Garrett Miller show. Can you give me a 1-2 check?
1-2 check. 1-2
coming through. Great.
1-2
And from here on out, what Garrett said he wanted to do right off the bat was a technical breakdown of Drupal 9.
Yeah, already have it all mapped out. Yeah,
yeah. I thought you had some really great insights on that, and mm-hmm. I'd love to just open up the floor.
I think the teleportation features are going to be out of this world. Really.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought you know to bake that in along with everything else? And good point, Garrett.
Yeah.
weren't some of those features, didn't they steal some of that from the Windows 97 code?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. They're really just revamping Windows 97 and adding a few things and bringing it to the modern era. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that, because I thought that was a particular release of the Windows OS that was overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad that the Drupal community recognized that and brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we digress. so I think I did introduce everyone. People know Rusty from the last podcast. Mm-hmm. They know Hillary from most of the podcasts. And
not most. Okay, most of the
half?
Ones from last year.
At least, okay.
Some podcasts.
A couple. This might be my fifth or sixth.
That's pretty good.
But
that's...
you have 14 episodes, right?
Okay. And unfortunately, I'm on all of the greatest hits.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately.
Yeah.
I would say fortunately.
Fortunately.
You know
yeah.
where to add the crickets.
I can say things, and if we don't have things to say, the crickets will be inserted, and we previewed that.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We were testing the crickets sound.
Yeah, so for sound check, room silence. Crickets will be inserted right there. You don't even have to do it, Garrett. But Garrett is the newest, well, not the newest anymore. Hubert is the newest addition to the team here.
If we're talking devs, Garrett's the newest.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And front end development specifically.
Yeah, front end specialist for Drupal. Mm-hmm. So
we got him site building, though.
Yeah.
He got to site build a Drupal 8 site.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that was a nice learning experience.
It was.
Yeah.
Everything's been a learning experience.
Yeah.
But that was a very nice learning experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Site building is a different thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually pretty quick, so people don't specialize in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a couple shout outs to the hiring process. How did we find you?
So I was doing a front-end boot camp at Grand Circus in Detroit, which is just a two-month program.
Yeah.
And we did a demo day where, we broke up into little groups and built our own projects. And we built something that was to help you find a good place to study, pulled in Yelp coffee shops, and then you could rate them based on criteria that would be good for studying outlets and good for groups and that kind of stuff. And Chris and Alex were at the demo day. So I talked to them a little bit then, had a couple follow-up calls over Christmas break, interviewed in January a couple times, and then the great journey began on February 6th. Yeah.
Because you're here.
And now I'm here.
Yeah. You only forgot to mention one very specific thing.
What was that?
The magnificent beard you possess.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. As soon as Chris and Alex saw the beard, that looks going to round out the depth perfectly.
Yeah. We had some conversations about
that.
Yeah.
It's like there's one candidate who's got an amazing beard.
Yeah.
He's pretty good front end, but the beard.
It's where I keep my brains.
Yeah.
Where I try to learn
Can't
things.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it does streamline the hiring process quite a bit. Yeah. You know, I mean, the first 30 seconds of visual appraisal, you can tell this person's going to fit or not.
Well, when we hired Hubert, I think it was, well, for like that month afterwards, I think it's changed a little bit now, but when we hired Hubert, he was the only guy in the office without a beard, actually. Mm-hmm. So it did, like, I think it was a prereq of working here.
I've talked to him about that.
Yeah, he had one for like a week, I think. Yeah. He like started to grow it out for a week and then said no.
He brings his own sense of style, though. His first day, he wore pink pants.
Yeah.
Which is, that was a stretch, but he pulled it off.
No, he's definitely
he's very stylish.
Upgrading our general style. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I try to wear like the same Charlie Brown outfit most days, and Hubert, you know, definitely we want to lead with him on presentation. Like, you know, when people come in, like, you know, just see, look how grown up we are.
Don't look in the dev cave.
Speaking of grown up, I couldn't let this pass. Something you said, it was very quiet and it was tossed in there, but you mentioned that your beard is your mind palace. That's pretty fantastic. I couldn't let it go, so I just had to I had to throw that in there.
Every strand is its own little.
No, I dig it.
Thank you for pointing that out. I totally overlooked that.
Absolutely.
And I think with that, we've pretty much covered the content for today's podcast episode. You know, we can handle some of the general housekeeping. You know, there was a DrupalCon, I think, recently. Where was it? Was it Baltimore?
Baltimore, yeah.
Which I'm familiar with because I've been watching The Wire. Recently, I just started watching, so I know all about how the crime syndicates work there. but, you know, I mean, apparently it's a good place to host a DrupalCon as well. So we had a couple talking points about DrupalCon and the Dries Note and some community news. And some of it's, little bit touchy. We'll see if we can get into it. I don't know if we're ready for... Oh, look at that.
Special guest. Were someone's ears burning?
Hubert, let's present Hubert and his fashion for today. Oh, he's sporting. Oh, is that a Carhartt? Oh, could you give us a spin? He just walked right by. I think Hubert today.
The camera is over here. You'll have to come into this
Carhartt
area.
Book bag. Is this a what color is Carhartt?
it's Carhartt color.
Tan is a good good color.
He's using a tan Carhartt book bag and a tweed. Is that a tweed jacket?
I don't know.
No, speckled tweed.
Over the hoodie though ish. For class,
but
class casual.
Yeah,
I like it.
So, just evidence to our previous statement, Hubert brings all competency to wardrobe and fashion. And, he's trying to elevate. You know, the best I could do is I now wear my Symmetry Patagonia vest, and but otherwise we do have some wardrobe challenges that Hubert's helping us with.
Yes.
But we were getting ready to talk about BDSM, right? Did I say that? I didn't mean to say that.
I think we were going to stay clear of
We're going to just totally sidestep that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was kind of controversial and it's caused some trouble in the community. We don't cause any trouble. Let's just move right past that. And but there was a DrupalCon.
Yeah, Baltimore.
And there was a Dries Note. And then we also came across, in the community, there was kind of some commenting around this. Was it Adam Hall? Who's the guy?
Dave Hall.
Sorry. So Dave Hall blog post. And my summary of it was kind of like, you know, Drupal is dead, long live Drupal. Like, I, you know, but maybe that's not accurate, so
that's,
you guys can help me.
That's the extreme takeaway from
this.
Yeah.
I don't don't think we have to go that far.
Okay.
No, I mean, I would say that the gist of what he was trying to say is that, you know, adoption of Drupal 8 seems to be a relatively slow in comparison to adoption of previous Drupal versions.
Sure.
And really is just expressing concern as to how do we fix it? How do we make sure that, yeah, you know, Drupal doesn't, does it, you know, how does it not die off, right?
Yeah.
We don't want that, so.
Yeah, and I think what he was trying to highlight, too, as one of the larger causes of that decline in use was the preference for, like, more modular entire systems, you know, having just Node.js and then just a front-end framework and separating things out more, which I thought was interesting because from my takeaway, you know, it seems like Drupal 8 has made steps to move in that direction as well. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting take on it.
Yeah, and he did mention in there that it's more than just decoupled Drupal that we need to strive towards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, something I thought was interesting, you know, we were talking about the keynote, and I appreciated the article, but I'm not so sure how I feel about some of the things that were said. So, like, I don't have any stats as far as, like, differences in adoption, but just thinking about the differences in adoption rates, right? Mm. If those are factual, why is Drupal 7 so different than Drupal 8, right? And I think a lot of that is there's a big learning curve difference for people, you know, both already existing Drupal developer site, you know, site builders, themers, and all that kind of stuff, right? Like,
well, I think I'm going to interrupt you.
That's fine.
so, like, and I've told my story too many times, but site builder is where I started in. And, like, Drupal was still something that was pretty approachable as a site builder to, you know, a mass populace, right? Like, anyone can get in there and start checking boxes and, you know, and start to see a site emerge.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, once you start building a tool set that really is geared towards development teams, it excludes a lot of the, you know, one-man shop, you know, web designers that are just going to kind of pick up Drupal on the side, which Drupal 7 you could kind of do still, right?
I think you still can with Drupal 8, right?
Can,
like, I don't think that that's gone away. I think the difference is, like, for front-end guys, girls, anybody, you know, we switch from PHP template to Twig. Right, there's a big difference between the two, right? And there's a lot of layers underneath of that when you start looking at the back end and the Symfony framework. It's a lot different than Drupal 7, right? Though, like, there's a lot of similarities because the concepts are the same, but in practice, development is just different, right? And there's a steeper learning curve to get in there. So I think probably a lot of shops are just working through that learning curve, and I think the adoption rates are probably going to pick up.
Yeah.
And to, you know, sort of thinking about that, and when I saw the I didn't see the trees note, but the slides and stuff, one of the things he mentioned is that I think it said last month, being April, there were like 15,000 brand new sites that launched on Drupal 8, and it's like. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, I don't have a solid comparison between the two, but I mean, it does seem like it's picking up, and internally here we're seeing a lot more Drupal 8, you know, so.
Yeah, it seems like they are updating a lot of core modules, and they are, Drupal 8, from 8 to 8.3, there's already been significant improvements too, so more people are adopting, and there's less bugs, and as a newbie's take on it as well, since I was not familiar with any of these Drupal systems before I started too, I keep hearing, you know, that Drupal 8 has a steeper learning curve, and I'm sure it does because it's Twig and PHP and all that, but having, like, I was learning Drupal 7 for the first time on the first sites and then Drupal 8 on the next site that I did, and I honestly found Drupal 8 syntax and Twig templates and all of that almost even easier to work with than the PHP templates. So I think there is, like, a big learning curve, but it's kind of just a learning curve to get into it rather than continue on using it, is how it feels to me. I don't know.
I guess I would say, like, I think my sentiment is more coming from Drupal 7, going to Drupal 8, the learning curve, because you're used to, you know, the way that Drupal 7 did a lot of stuff.
And it was around for, I mean, it was the Drupal CMS for how many years? Like
Seven, something like that.
Yeah, and that's quite, I mean, people's entire careers rise and fall.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that they wanted to get better in Drupal 8 was new adoption rates. So it's good that they were able to get closer to that with Drupal 8.
I think the other thing, and you said you saw the Dries note, so correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
thank you.
So far, so good.
He was talking about module updates, and they mentioned, like, I think we're at a point now where the top 50 modules are all ported from 7 to 8 now. So there are stable 8 releases. And
I'm seeing a lot more.
Yeah, and obviously lots of stuff in core that wasn't in core in 7. Yeah. So.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah, internally we had to wait a while for contributed modules to catch up so that we could build some Drupal 8 sites. I think our first Drupal 8 site launched last month.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a slower burn on you know, getting people acquainted, and the whole community has to rally around all the contrib updates and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we were waiting for the upgrade package, and you know, for a couple of reasons, and we had that sponsorship thing out there with OS training, you know, and we had a conversation going with them, and finally in 8.3 there's something to document about upgrading from 7 to 8 with a legitimate path, you know, but it took you know, better than what, a year and a half to build that. And Dries did have a couple notes around that, you know, basically there's a million Drupal 7 sites that are probably starting to think about should they upgrade and when, and you know what that, what's that going to look like? And now there actually is a path out there to do it. So anything else on that, the Adam Hall,
Dave Hall,
Dave Hall?
Dang it, that's twice.
I'm fired. Daryl Hall,
Doogie. there were some comments that came in. I mean, it seemed like it generated a lot of conversation.
Yeah, one of the big takeaways that I took from it was just the way in which websites are changing. Now people are going towards Laravel and those types of site setups. And we no longer have to shoehorn a site into a CMS if that's not the correct solution for it. And so it just got us thinking internally where that dividing line is between, do we put it in the Drupal CMS or do we try to build it with something like Jekyll, because it's a very simple site.
And does, I mean, does Drupal 8 with all of its IP, no, not IPA, that's what we drink on Fridays, API. when it's built, like,
I don't drink IPAs on Fridays. They're gross.
Drupal should have included an IPA. Like, yes. I think that would have made it a lot more popular. But like, they're pushing this API first, right? But not API only was kind of the statement.
Yeah.
Does that make it still a central meeting place for all these other technologies, like a Jekyll or
it,
these other
tools? It can help with it. That's another thing that Dave Hall touched on, was that
Adam
Hall, I'm sorry, was that Drupal does content management really well. So we can use it, headless Drupal, for content management. We can use it as an API for the content management so that our front end can be something like Node.js. But that's where we should kind of focus the future of Drupal is we do content management really well. We should be like a Unix-based approach, do something right and do it well.
Pick one thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like bread.
Yeah. Speak of the devil.
Speaking of bread.
Who told you?
With his pool skimmer.
Pool boy.
Come on in.
Did he get a pool at his new house?
Yes.
That's wow.
New job as a pool boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Take this one with the fly thing here, too.
Man, we got the whole crew out here.
Yep.
Like, I'm waiting for Andy to walk through the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one.
One thing on the article, too, like, I don't know, he also a newbie perspective, again, like, being new to it, Drupal is, like, amazingly powerful, and I really can't see it, there's so much potential to do with it, and with Headless, we built our first Headless site as well, and it seems like the options are unlimited in what you really want to do with it. So I don't know if, like, I kind of agree with what Rusty said a while ago, like, well, I think we're going to start to see more people use Drupal 8. And I think the issues that we had in switching over to it, you know, just waiting for things to catch up, make sure core was secure and contrib modules were there, just takes a little bit of time. There's a transition period there. So hopefully we do see more and more usage to Drupal 8 now that those things have become more stable.
Sure.
But we built our first headless one and like to get into like a API first, not API only in the future, and more progressive headless in the future. So yeah, I think all those options, all those critiques that he brought up in the article, there's solutions for in Drupal.
And I'm new to the community, but you know, some of my vantage point is kind of observing the community. Like, I think some of his feedback is kind of like just, I don't know, the swell of support for Drupal might be different in the future. Mm-hmm. And at first it's kind of disheartening that, again, it's not like such a populous available technology. And so you're worried like, oh, there's not as many people chatting about it on Google. But the people that are working on really impressive sites. So there might be a smaller community compared to what, you know, the initial versions of Drupal were able to accommodate, just because it's a more advanced technology kind of, right? I mean, how many, you know, and so, you know, my mantra recently, I'm doing this blog series on WordPress versus Drupal. And that's one of the big things is that you just have, you have millions of WordPress users out there because you can pop up a site in 5 minutes and start blogging and you're done, you know, if that's all you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, but there's different technologies are going to kind of cater to different communities and they might be smaller.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good parable. You know, the Drupal versus
Friar Shane
WordPress. They're different use cases, right?
Like, yeah.
They're just not meant to do the same thing. And I think, like, to some degree, Drupal 7 and Drupal 8 are diverging in that same way, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we're getting the headless Drupal available where, you know, we've got APIs and things like that. We can use different front ends and all that kind of stuff. And it's just an entirely different use case. So, you know, I think people are probably still exploring how can we implement Drupal 8? What are these new things we can do? How can we take it, you know, to somewhere else? So I think all of those things are going to end up with Drupal 8 being in a really good place. I don't think it's...
And it's still the beginning. It's very
nice. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Point of process.
Oh, who's this guy?
Hi. Isn't it inherently weird that the most popular platform for making stuff on the web is a blogging platform, and yet everyone talks about how blogging is dying? It's just, but people are making way tons and tons of WordPress sites.
Yeah,
there's not like that like blogging groundswell that you would have seen like in the aughts. I don't know if there is anything relevant there, just saying. It's weird.
I always thought it was weird that WordPress was set up to like make blogs. Like, that's what I feel like it's default, mm-hmm. what it does. But it seems like the majority of the people I know that make WordPress sites, it's not really a blog. Like, they're not really managing a blog that they're putting posts on. It's like an actual just site for a small business or something. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's this analogy, I guess, with, like, Drupal in 5 and 6 and, I guess, 7. Like, you weren't going to make anything without views. So, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you had to, like, get Drupal, then get views, like, mm-hmm. and put it all together. With WordPress now, yeah, if you're not, like, publishing a blog, then you have to install all the stuff that does all the fielding and all the
mm-hmm.
other things in order to even just get started.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems they have to have a pivot at some point and realize that it's not RSS driven anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The world has changed.
Yes.
We have like a minute left, if that. Did we cover? We covered everything important. I'm sure we got that out of the way in the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, I hate to go out, you know, on a down note, just saying it's the end, but that might be the end of the podcast right there.
I wouldn't call that a down note.
That was pretty good.
It was a good podcast. It was a good 30 minutes. We had a good 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was solid. That was a summary statement. It's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's done. Go home.
We should start doing with silence and crickets.
Yeah, cue crickets.
Or vibrating phones.
You're ruining it.